Welcome back. Joining me right now is Rob Krieg, who is a T-6 pilot, member of the Commemorative Air Force. Good morning, Rob. I'm well. This, I understand, is not your first time to Oshkosh.
No, not at all. We've started coming here in 2000. We missed a couple being overseas, but been here almost every year.
Tell us a little bit about your background in aviation.
So I'm a retired Marine. I was a navigator in the Marine Corps. I have been in love with flying, I think, since before I was born. Got my pilot's license in 1996. We've owned a couple of airplanes in the meantime. Taught my wife to fly, which was good marriage therapy.
It can be either good or bad.
Yeah, depending. It was good.
You must be a good instructor, then.
I had a good student.
Excellent answer. I like that. And you have been a member of the Warbird community for a number of years as well.
I've wanted to be a member a lot longer than I have been a member.
Yep.
Our last assignment in the Marine Corps was in Japan. We moved back about 5 years ago, got involved with the CAF, and that was the gateway into the Warbirds.
Were you in aviation in the Marine Corps?
Yeah, I was a navigator in the Prowler.
Okay, navigator in the Prowler. And any great stories from the Prowler days?
Tons, but...
okay, so the ones that you can actually share with us, I guess, I should have phrased it that way.
You know, whenever someone asks me that and I start telling stories and my wife will say, I never heard that one. So there's some catalyst there that makes me open up and tell stories that I don't think about.
Okay. Well, with the Warbird community, having served with the Marine Corps and now flying Warbirds, I know that you do fly a T-6. Are there any other Warbirds that you're qualified in?
I've qualified in the L-5 and the BT-13.
Okay.
That our local CAF unit has.
What's it like to fly a BT-13?
It's really great. So that was the first radial engine airplane I flew. It was bigger and heavier than just about anything I flew. I have some time in a King Air, but for some reason the BT just feels bigger. Yeah. You understand when you fly it why they called it the vibrator.
Right.
and, you know, really the whole experience with the radial engine is takes different techniques for engine management. And I always describe Warbirds like that they're a time machine.
Right.
It's one thing to see them in a museum, but when you get in the airplane and the engine comes to life and it starts smoking and vibrating and noisy and... It's really something that's completely different, and it's very experiential.
In your training, your Warbird transition training, did you start with the BT and then move to the T-6?
I did.
So similar to what they did during World War II?
Very. I skipped over the steerman.
Right.
But that was it, yeah. So I had about 60 hours in the BT before I started flying the T-6. And that's about what guys had back in the day.
So for those wondering... And I know a lot of folks already know BT stands for basic trainer.
Basic trainer. So they started in the primary trainers. The most common one was a steerman. Then they went to the basic trainer. So in the BT-13 was the one that everybody flew. Then they learned a little bit of instrument work, a little bit of formation work, a little bit of night work. And then they went into the advanced trainer, the AT-6. For guys that were going single engine, they went into that and they would learn some tactics, more formation, more nighttime, more instrument time. It's a heavier, more complex airplane, more horsepower, fully constant speed propeller, retractable gear. So stepping up in complexity with each of those three airplanes, and then also stepping up in the skills that they were learning.
And by the time you were done with the AT, you could fly just about any of the single engine fighters in the inventory at the time.
So that's what they say, and it's really still the same way we do it today. All the guys you see out here in Mustangs and Corsairs and everything have all learned how to do that in the T-6. It's still the gateway into all of those things, so very much the way pilots are trained in World War II, we're still doing that today.
Any desire to move up the fighter chain?
Yeah, absolutely. So our CAF unit has a TBM Avenger. And that's really what led us to purchase the T-6.
There we go. So and you're out on the East Coast.
Correct. Capitol Wing, just outside Washington, D.C.
So you have a very unique T-6.
We
or
do.
Actually should say had a very unique
T-6.
Yeah,
that's more accurate. So every T-6, of course, has a history. You know, and as I said, each of these warbirds is like flying a time machine. So in 1949, the Air Force, the newly born Air Force, put in an order to North American to have some of the older model T6s updated to the current model, which was the G model. And so we knew from our serial number. So what happened? They changed the serial number when they did that. So we knew from our serial number it was one of the first 300 that had happened, and that first 300 came from early airplanes. My partner and I were up flying. One of my partners is a history major. So he was telling me about a book he bought called The Definitive History of the T6. And I said, well, I'll show you where our serial number is, and that when we get down. And so when we got down, he had a different serial number than what's on our registration. And so after asking around, he found that on a placard on the rollover post behind the pilot's head. And on that post, it had the original serial number when it had 2,600 hours on the airplane. We think that was from an overhaul. And so from that serial number, we were then able to start searching for it. And we found that this lady named Constance Turner had an accident with it in October of 1943 at Sweetwater Field, Sweetwater, Texas, at Avenger Field.
And she, after that accident, was released from the program.
She, it appears to be. She did
yes.
not graduate,
right.
And so it appears that she was released from that.
So when you made that discovery of the incredible history of the airplane, what was kind of going through your mind?
It was really something that you know, for a while we had been trying to piece together its earlier serial number, which, you know, most G models can't do. And so that was a great discovery. And then, you know, the process of then learning all these different pieces of information. And so then our unit leader at the CAF there, you know, mentioned to me jokingly one day, you know, someday you're going to have to sell this to the CAF, right? And we said, yeah. So last summer I brought the airplane here,
right.
Went to the formation clinic in Dubuque, flew in the air show here. And then my other task from my partner for the week was to get together with some of the WASP veterans who are here and take them flying in the airplane. And so on Thursday afternoon, I was able to meet Marty Weil, mm-hmm. took her flying in the airplane. And so the whole experience of doing that, of course, you know, there's the rush hour right after the air show. And so I didn't want to be caught by that. So her grandson brought her over while the snowbirds were flying last year. And so she and I sat in the airplane waiting for them to finish. And for about 15 minutes, she just told me stories of her flying days, probably stories that her family has never heard. But just it was one of those moments I wish I had recorded, that, you know, a reunion of an airplane that was at the field and a pilot who possibly trained in it. And so then we took off after the show, went out over Lake Winnebago. Initially, she didn't want to fly the airplane. But then after we got up, she's like, okay, I'll take it. And she was so excited when we got back. Her son told me that that was her favorite airplane ride of the week. And she had flew some very impressive things that week. And so then as I was kind of on the way home, I was thinking that, you know, the CAF can do a much better job with this airplane than we can. It wasn't painted in the right color. It wasn't, we didn't have the ability to make an education program out of it. And so we called a partners meeting and said, what do you guys think about, you know, selling it to the CAF? Let's think about it for a while and we'll come back. And, we kind of looked at each other and said, we don't need to think about it. We're already done. So we contacted the CAF, we gave them an option on the airplane. And then a few months ago, they exercised that option. So.
Right. And there was a Kickstarter campaign to help raise the money to get the airplane. And it is here on site.
It absolutely is. It's over on Boeing Square.
All right. Rob Krieg is the gentleman that we're talking to right now, who's discovered the history of this WASP T6 that's now going to become kind of a focal point of the educational program, but also hopefully a focal point of the Women Venture picture that's coming
yes.
up this morning at 11 o'clock. So UPS has their big 757 here as sort of a backdrop, and they've had a number of their female employees coming in for this event today. But hopefully tucked in there is going to be that pretty little T6 with a gorgeous new paint job.
Absolutely. It's the Delta Tech donated a paint job to us. to the CAF, and so we went down Saturday, picked it up, brand spanking new paint job, managed to get it here without scratching it.
Right.
So that's all good.
And a big shout out to the West Ramp or Boeing Plaza crew, the yellow shirts who moved the airplane several times. They got it into our into the display area with about 6 inches on one side of one wing tip and less than 2 inches on the other side, but they put it through there like the pros they are, and as you say, not a scratch on it. It looks good. We'll see with the weather today and everything. Hopefully it'll be in the picture. Rob, you'll still be able to fly the airplane though every once in a while.
So the CF is going to base the airplane in Dallas. Mm-hmm. So I'm taking it home from the show, and then we're going to deliver it to Dallas here in a few weeks.
Good.
My partners and I are going to be sponsors of the airplane. So whether we continue to fly it in the future, I guess we'll see.
Okay. Any words of advice for, there's a lot of private pilots walking around out here, and they see the warbirds flying and they think there's no way I'll ever be able to do that.
Yeah, so I used to think the same thing. Yeah. There was a CAF unit on our field while I was, it's actually the one I belong to now, but back on the days when I had a Grumman Yankee, and I kind of just thought it's more money, more time, more experience than I'll ever have.
Right.
So I think the CAF is kind of the greatest unintentional secret in general aviation. It really doesn't take that much time, money, experience. Go find your local CAF unit, tell them you want to be a pilot. Or just be involved. If you want to get your hands on the airplanes, if you want to help maintain them, if you want to help educate the crowd about it, there's all kinds of opportunities for people to join the CAF and get involved.
All right. Thank you very much, Rob, for joining us. Rob Krieg, who flew the Wasp T6 in here to AirVenture. Will it fly in the show at all?
So not in the show. We're going to fly tomorrow morning.
Okay.
With a couple of rides. Hopefully a Wasp veteran will join me in the air tomorrow morning.
Excellent. Well, I hope it's as enjoyable an experience as you had last year.
I hope so, too.
All right. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, Steve.
And that's going to wrap up our show for today. Tomorrow, we'll spotlight the 90th anniversary of Charles Lindbergh's transatlantic solo flight. We'll talk with Rick Siegfried, who is one of the pilots of EIA Spirit of St. Louis replica, and also talk with Lindbergh's grandson, Eric, about the Ortigue Prize, which his grandfather won in 1927, and the modern-day equivalent, which Eric is involved in. That's the X Prize. Plus, we'll also talk to an original Tuskegee Airman, Lieutenant Colonel Harry Stewart, who is here at Oshkosh this week, and he will talk about his career with the famed Red Tails. And that's our program for this morning. This is From the Stand. I'm Steve Buss. We'll talk to you tomorrow.